Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus' Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We're continuing to share with you on the important subject of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. We've talked about the teaching of Jesus. And we talked about the subject of baptism. Before we get into the area of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receiving of the Holy Spirit, and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And there's a difference between all three. And we've taken quite a bit of time and gone over this in the baptism subject, understanding baptism, because most people have not had any understanding of this. Now, what we want to do is just kind of briefly summarize what we've talked about, and then we're going to go in to looking at the scriptures about the baptism of the Holy Spirit to confirm the things that we have been teaching you. We've seen the word baptism is an untranslated Greek word, baptizo, which means to be immersed, submerged, or engulfed in something. John the Baptist first came preaching for the Jews to repent because the kingdom of heaven was at hand. He baptized them in water with a baptism of repentance. And what was he doing? He was preparing the people for the way of the Lord into the priesthood that had been prophesied by Moses in Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. Requirements for entrance into the priesthood under the old covenant were to be washed with water, anointed with oil, and have blood applied to their members. Now the people came willingly to be baptized. Why? They understood that the manifestation of the kingdom would enable them all to become a kingdom of priests. They thought the physical washing by baptism was the first step into the kingdom of priests, which it was in the Old Testament, but instead John's baptism was simply a baptism of repentance from their sins. Now when John the Baptist revealed Jesus as the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world, he further prophesied that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. In reality, John was prophesying of the change in ordination into the priesthood from physical washing with water under the Old Covenant to the spiritual baptism with the Holy Spirit, which was to come when the New Covenant came into being. Now Jesus then proceeded to be baptized in water by John the Baptist to be manifest to Israel that he was going to become the high priest and bring them into the priesthood. Now his baptism was done to fulfill all righteousness under the Old Covenant law in order that he might become the high priest of Israel. Now when Jesus came up out of the water, having been baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him to anoint him. Remember, the steps were washing, the anointing, and the blood applied. The second step for the ordination was the anointing with oil. The anointing oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit anointing Jesus fulfilled the second step for ordination into the priesthood under the Old Covenant. Now the third step for ordination was application of the blood from the ram of consecration to the tip of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, and the great toe of the right foot. Jesus was the ram of consecration whose blood was shed when the crown of thorns put upon his head, so that he then, of course, would have the blood dripping down to the tip of his ear, the nails in his hands and feet, so that his blood then would be applied, as the Old Covenant declared, to the tip of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, and the great toe of the right foot. So Jesus was washed, anointed, and the blood was applied to be ordained as high priest of Israel in fulfillment of that righteousness of the law under that old covenant. We also saw that Jesus was not of the tribe of Levi, but of the tribe of Judah. Thus, he couldn't be in the priesthood under the Old Testament. Further, Moses' prophecy was that all of the children of Israel would become a kingdom of priests. Only the tribe of Levi could be in the priesthood under the Old Covenant. Thus, there had to be a change in the covenant, there had to be change in the priesthood, and there had to be a change in the high priestly order. We see there also was going to be a change in the ordination into the priesthood so that all of the children of Israel could become a kingdom of priests. So we saw that Jeremiah prophesied of the change from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant in Jeremiah 31:31. We also saw that Jesus was called of God to be a high priest after the order of Melchizedek in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 6 and verse 10. So the New Covenant was going to replace the Old, and Jesus was going to become the high priest, and the order of the high priest would be after the order of Melchizedek, who was both a king and a high priest. The change in the ordination of the priesthood was from a physical washing, anointing, and application of the blood, to a spiritual baptism, anointing, and application of the blood. Also, the entrance into the priesthood was changed from physical birth as the tribe of Levi under the Old Covenant to spiritual birth under the New Covenant so all could enter in. Jesus brought about this change through his blood shed on the altar of the cross, having been offered up by Caiaphas the high priest as the final sacrifice of the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant was finished, as Jesus declared on the cross, it's finished. He drank the cup of death, experienced the baptism of death that he spoke of. Through death, he completed the redemption by bearing away the sins and iniquities of man for the 3 days and three nights in hell. And after those 3 days and three nights, Jesus was raised from the dead, having been born from the dead, from spiritual death to spiritual life by the Holy Spirit. The spiritual birth of Jesus was his entrance into the priesthood. Remember, the first step of ordination in the priesthood was the washing or a baptism. Now, the first step into the new priesthood was by spiritual baptism. The spiritual baptism was prophesied by John the Baptist, remember, as the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Jesus experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because remember what the word baptism means. It means to immerse, submerge, and engulf. When he was immersed, submerged, and engulfed in the presence of the Holy Spirit, because it was the Spirit of him, the Holy Spirit, that raised Jesus from the dead. Remember Romans 8 and verse 11. So the result was Jesus was born from spiritual death unto spiritual life. He experienced spiritual birth. He was the first born from the dead. And we saw scripture after scripture about that. This was a spiritual birth. Jesus entered into the priesthood by spiritual birth. Because Jesus was the forerunner for us, having entered into the priesthood, being made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, according to Hebrews 6:20, the way was now open for all to enter into the new spiritual priesthood under the new covenant. The entrance is only by spiritual birth. This is why Jesus said, "You must be born again." That's the only way in. Now, all men can experience the baptism which Jesus experienced, and we're baptized into his death unto life when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Our spirit is taken out of our body. We are born from the dead, from spiritual death unto spiritual life. We get a brand new spirit, and this is all through the baptism or the immersing, engulfing in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we get a brand new spirit. We become a new creature in Christ, and we're brought into the spiritual priesthood as a kingdom of priests. Jesus remembers the cornerstone of the spiritual house, and you and I are lively stones. We're spiritually born again as lively stones in the spiritual house of God. And remember from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9, through spiritual birth we now are a holy and royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people in Christ. Now, when one receives Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, he's baptized by the Holy Spirit. That's the washing, the first step. Born again spiritually, becoming a new creature in Christ. What do you get? The Spirit of Christ. And the word Christ means anointed one. So that's the anointing, the anointed one within. And all of our sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the blood applied within where we are washed clean. So all the requirements for entrance into the new spiritual priesthood under the new covenant are met, and you and I now are made kings and priests unto God, as it says in Revelation in chapter 1 in verse 5 and verse 6. Now, you and I, having been washed from our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ in verse 5, now we've been made kings and priests unto God and his Father in verse 6. So you and I have come into the priesthood, and we've also come into the place of being in relationship with him through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the new birth that brings you into the priesthood. Now, that may be contrary to what you've heard. If you have been a full gospel, Pentecostal, charismatic persuasion, but there's been great problems in the body of Christ because of not understanding the difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, and the filling of the Holy Spirit. They're all different. Remember, we saw four uses where the filling of the Holy Spirit occurred in the Old Testament era. That shows you it was something that occurred in the Old Testament even before the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the receiving of the Holy Spirit occurred in the time of the New Testament. Now, we're going to begin to look at this baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit specifically is used seven times in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Mark 1:8 says he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Luke 3:16, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John 1:33, again he says, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So these four scriptures are John the Baptist prophesying of Jesus as the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. They don't tell us what happens at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, though, but that's four of the seven uses. The fifth use was in Acts chapter 1, in verse 5, when Jesus was about to leave and he told the disciples they were supposed to stay in Jerusalem, and he said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That meant that now they were going to come into the priesthood, and this was how the Holy Spirit was going to come to them, a change in the priesthood from the old to the new. Instead of the washing physically, outwardly of water, now it was going to be a change on the inside through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and was going to happen. So that's the fifth use. So we see the fact that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, of course, had not occurred at this point, and it was going to occur on the day of Pentecost. Now, in Acts chapter 11, we see a sixth use, which somewhat tells us about this. In Acts 11, verse 14, it says, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. This is in Acts 11, verse 14 to 16. This is where Peter was relating that the same experience that happened to the disciples in the upper room on the day of Pentecost also happened to the Gentiles at Cornelius' house. He reveals that as he was speaking words, and what words? Words that would bring salvation to the Gentiles. What happened? They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. That indicates that the baptism of the Holy Spirit occurs when one receives the word regarding salvation. And that's important. We're going to see further when we look at the Holy Spirit outpouring in Acts at a later time. Now, the seventh use tells us what it is. It specifically tells us. Now, Acts 11, of course, implies that it was the time of salvation. But 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 clearly says what it is. It says this, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be in bond or free, and we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. Notice the beginning of that. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The baptism by the Holy Spirit brought us into the body of Christ. That's what we come into when we're born again. When a person receives Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, they're born again, and the new birth experience is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. We're going to talk more in the next broadcast. God bless you. As I close today, I have a book available on this subject. The title of the book is The Difference Between Baptism, Receiving, and Filling of the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to get this, it's available for $6, postage paid. Please call 602-279-5212. Again, the book, The Difference Between Baptism, Receiving, and Filling of the Holy Spirit, available for $6, postage paid. To get it, please call 602-279-5212. I want to invite you to our church in Phoenix. Services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., Wednesday at 7. The church is located at 2955 West Fairmount Avenue, just west of I-17 and Indian School. For more information, call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.